And a picture like that, if it were to represent the church, surely would have to represent all of the wonderful things about the warmth and the love and the compassion and all that is good and all that draws us to the Lord's church. But let's suppose that maybe something were to happen to diminish the warmth and the beauty of that scene. Let's say that it now has become something that really looks rather harsh and cold and unwelcoming. Could that kind of thing happen to the Lord's church? You know, maybe I was unfair in my description of saying that the church is represented by that beautiful scene, and certainly everything about the church that God has made is perfect. But if the church depends upon us as members to show forth a fair representation of its beauty and its warmth and its character, the love that should be filling it in every sense, and let's just say that something isn't happening the way that it's supposed to happen. Let's suppose that by our conduct we've lost a little bit of the love that we're to have. Love for the Lord. Love for one another. Love for the truth. Love for the lost. You know, in all actuality, we're beginning to portray the church, as in us as the church, as looking a little bit more like that second version of the picture. Not quite as warm and pleasing, not quite as welcoming. Is there something that could happen that would diminish the appeal of the church? Is there a way that we can conduct ourselves that would cause the church to be reflected in a less than desirable light? I think that there certainly is something, a lot of somethings actually, that could be done that might result in that very kind of thing. Let's talk for a little bit about the subject of avoiding apathy. Avoiding apathy. Somebody says, why in the world would you preach on such a negative subject, such a harsh thing? For a very simple reason. We would want more than anything in this world to never allow apathy to characterize us as the Lord's church. We would want to keep apathy as far away from us as possible, as far out of our lives as it could be kept. Apathy. We are a caring church. I don't think you could describe the congregation at Redland Road in any better way than to say that we are a caring, loving group of people. But if we lose that reputation, and generally speaking, reputations are lost as a result of the wrong kind of conduct, if we lose that reputation for being a loving and caring group, if we are then described as more apathetic than loving, more apathetic than concerned, then we're not presenting a very attractive picture. The word apathy, broken down to its most basic concept, means literally without concern. Without concern. Anytime a group of God's people can accurately be described as apathetic, then there's some urgent work that needs to be done. In fact, going back to what I said a minute ago, we would want to do anything that we could, whatever it takes, to make sure that that description cannot appropriately be applied to us here at Redland Road. And so it's for that reason that I'd like for us to take a close look, not because it's something that I see out there among us now, but because it's something that none of us ever wants to see as a part of this church family. And so let's talk about the reality of apathy and what it would take to avoid apathy at all costs. I think maybe the best way to begin this discussion is to start out with a question. And the question might be, what are apathy's symptoms? What are some of the signs that apathy is beginning to move in? What are the kind of things that we need to watch out for and be careful of to keep those things that could be applied to us as a group, or actually things that may find lodging in our individual hearts? What are some of the symptoms of apathy? We could talk about complacency. Complacency. You might call that self-satisfaction. I want us to go into detail tonight, Lord willing, at 5 o'clock, and in talking about some of the ways that we need to fight these symptoms. Right now, let's just get a good understanding of what some of the symptoms of apathy might be. And first on my list is complacency or self-satisfaction. And there is a fact that needs to be brought out in this connection, and that is the fact that fullness can lead to forgetfulness. Fullness can lead to forgetfulness. That's exactly what God warned Israel about in Deuteronomy chapter 8. In fact, a good portion of that entire chapter, God spent through the words of Moses reminding Israel of all that he had done for them and warning them that they not forget him, even as he had done all of these things. In fact, in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, God spoke of the reality that they were going to be living in houses that they did not build. They would be eating the fruit of vineyards that they did not plant. Speaking in prophetic terms of all of the blessings that would come to Israel in the promised land, God said, with all of the good things that I've done for you and all of the wonderful things that I'm going to do for you, be very careful and don't think that you're doing these things yourself. Don't think that you are the source of all of these wonderful things. You know, the same warning is a good warning for us today. If you look there in the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter from which Tom read to us a few minutes ago, there are references to several congregations of the Lord's church in that day. And we remember what the Lord said to the folks in Laodicea, don't we? The Laodiceans, who were lukewarm, who were neither cold nor hot, and the Lord said, because you're neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spit you out, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. God says, you've ignored the fact. You do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We need to be content with the blessings that God has given us. But we should never become so satisfied that we forget where those blessings come from. But maybe it's not blessings that cause the problem with some folks. Maybe it's a different kind of problem. Maybe it's the problem of hopelessness. This is a common byproduct of hardship, discouragement. Even for some folks, to the point that they give up on their striving for excellence. Kind of like the fella who's looking for a job and looking and looking and looking. And I know I'm resonating with some folks today, because there are a lot of folks who seemingly can't find that job that they need, in spite of the fact that we're told nobody has any help. Everybody needs to hire workers. Go out there and try to find a good job. And he's looking and looking. And finally, he reaches a point at which he says, I give up. And he becomes hopelessly satisfied with doing without and taking handouts and allowing others to support him, because he's lost his hope. The same thing can happen to us spiritually. We need to be careful that hopelessness doesn't come tagging along into our lives with some of the difficulties, some of the hardship. There never will be a time when we won't experience hardship. There never will be a time when nothing is difficult. And there never should be a time when difficulty ought to cause us to become hopeless. Because you see, we serve a God who always knows and notices and remembers. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 10, the writer said, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and still ministering to the saints." We know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Another symptom of apathy would have to be entitlement. Entitlement. Maybe we could call this handed down Christianity. Now, there's nothing at all wrong with being a second or a third generation Christian. Many of us were blessed to be born into a family where Christianity, serving God, following the Scriptures, was already a well-established practice in place. And what a tremendous blessing that has been for many of us. Not to have ever had to experience the struggle of breaking free from some kind of man-made religion. I suppose it would almost be like being a person who's never, ever in their life gone to bed hungry. And so they really don't truly appreciate all of the abundance that they have and can't truly empathize with someone who doesn't have enough to eat. We need to be careful to appreciate what we have. We don't need to get to the point that we lose what we have and only then begin to appreciate what it was. Forgetfulness. especially in the sense of forgetting responsibility and forgetting about accountability. Maybe you've got someone close to you. Maybe you've been talking to them about trying to get things straightened out in their lives. Maybe you've tried to reach them with the truth and get them to obey the gospel. And maybe they've said something like, "Oh, I know, one day I'm going to straighten up. You need to quit bothering me about it so much." Ever heard of that? A lot of people have. To die in a state of careless indifference will take us right out of the picture insofar as Judgment Day is concerned. Oh, but God is a God of love and mercy. You know, that's exactly right. He's all that and more to the person who humbly serves Him. But He has no place in heaven for one who forgets about the responsibility, the accountability of service. Remember to the Laodiceans, He said, "Because you are neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth." We probably should move on to another point, and that is the fact that there are some things that apathy drives out of our lives, some things that simply cannot coexist alongside apathy. If we become apathetic, there are some things that we're going to lose, and number one on the list would be spirituality. A way of life that manifests the desire to allow one's Christian commitment to shape every dimension in our lives. You remember what Tom read to us a few minutes ago about the church at Sardis? He said, "You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." They had lost their spiritual life, and now the church at Sardis, instead of presenting a picture of a vibrant, warm, caring congregation, they were essentially a graveyard. Because he says, "You've lost your spiritual life. You're dead." It was being destroyed by a spirit of indifference. Unconcern was an overwhelming characteristic of that group of people. Unconcern always leads to the neglect of responsibilities. And when that neglect is ongoing, the damages and losses that result from it are always close at hand. In fact, Solomon describes what happens to the house that is neglected in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 18. He said, "Through indolence the roof sinks in, and through slackness the house leaks." The same thing would be true of our spiritual house if we neglect, if we don't care, if we're unconcerned. Apathy drives out spirituality. Apathy drives out true worship. Worship in spirit and in truth, as Jesus described in John 4 and verse 24. This is the kind of worship that requires a heart for God. When our worship becomes boring to us, the empty mouthing of words, then our purpose in assembling before God is defeated. And instead of joining together into the efforts of praising God and encouraging one another, we begin to view our worship assemblies as little more than a yoke that God has placed on our shoulders. I can assure you that a lot of work goes into the efforts to keep our worship assemblies here fresh and alive. But the solution to that kind of problem is not to turn our worship assembly into an entertainment session for bored minds, but rather to renew those minds with the transforming power of spiritual dedication and consecration. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Another thing that apathy drives out of us is evangelism. It's hard to be evangelistic if you just really don't care much. It's hard to get involved. Would any of us dare say, I really don't care about lost souls? Probably not. We probably wouldn't say something like that. Would we say, I really don't care about our Sunday school program. I sure don't care enough to get involved in it and be a teacher. I really don't care that much about our shut-ins. I really don't care that much about praying for the sick. You say, wait, stop it. That's crazy. Surely it ought to be. But those are the kind of things that come about as a result of an attitude of apathy. And before long, we've allowed apathy to crowd out the very fact of salvation itself. Apathy stands in the way of salvation, your salvation, my salvation, and the salvation of everyone around us. With apathy, we just don't care. We certainly can't be evangelistic. Let's conclude this study with some really important things that we need to do to keep apathy away. I would suggest, in perfect agreement with what the scriptures say there in Revelation 3, number one, we need to wake up. That's what the Lord said to the church at Sardis. You need to wake up and strengthen what remains. A couple of things are real important in that consideration. First of all, time is not unlimited. Have you ever heard anybody ask the question, are you going to sleep the whole day away? I know nobody's ever asked you that, and you wouldn't dare ever be caught in the bed at 7:30 in the morning. I mean, my, if you're going to sleep that late, why not just stay in the bed the whole day? Seriously, when we have no sense of urgency, it's usually a sign that we need to wake up, especially speaking spiritually. So we need to understand that time is getting away. Romans 13, verse 11 says, and knowing that, now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. He says, wake up and strengthen what remains. In other words, what little bit you've got left really needs to be strengthened. That seems to be the message the Spirit was giving to the church at Sardis. And then he said, I have not found your works complete. What does he mean by that? I have not found your works complete. Complete. Is he not saying your record is obvious? What you have done shows that you need to do a lot more. And then he says, remember. remember from where, remember then what you've received and heard. These are some important things to remember. We need to remember the truth. We need to remember our position. We need to remember our first love. Remember what the Spirit said to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2. You've left your first love. We need to remember the judgment. And then in the third place, he says you need to repent. To the church at Ephesus, Sardis, Laodicea, all of whom had problems, this is the instruction that the Lord gave to every single one of them. Repent. You need to change. You've got to come back. Now let's go back to where we were at the beginning. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a more dedicated, warm, loving, kind, concerned group of God's people anywhere. We want that to always be the case. Oh, surely there are a couple of old fuddy-duddies among us who need to stoke up the fire every now and then to kind of warm up a little bit, but on the whole, I think you could say, what a great group of God's people this is. But apathy has its way of working itself in very silently, insidiously. Let's make sure that it doesn't happen. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you become a Christian in the way that people became Christians in the book of Acts? If you study that book, you'll notice that what they did was, upon hearing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they believed it. They repented of a life of worldliness. They confessed Jesus as their Lord and Master. They were baptized for the remission of sins. And at that point, the Bible says, and the Lord added them to the church. So becoming a Christian, being added to the church by the Lord, having our sins washed away, becoming a new creature, all of those are synonymous things that happen when we obey the gospel as they did in the book of Acts. If perhaps you've already done that, but have become unfaithful in your service to God, you need to come back to the Lord. You need to repent. You need to be restored. We're going to sing this song to encourage you, and we'd like nothing better than to see those who need to come as we stand together and sing.